When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Through the Gryffindor is brought to you by Wizarding Candles. Ever wish you could bring the magic of the wizarding world right into your home? Well, now you can with our very own collection of Wizarding Candles. We work hard to make sure that these aren't just candles. We aim to offer a brand new enchanting experience each month. All of our handcrafted candles are inspired by iconic places, spells, creatures, and relics from the magical world. Whether it's the cozy scent of the burrow or the mystical aroma of the enchanted forest, our candles transport you to the heart of the magic. The fun doesn't stop there. Hidden at the bottom of every candle is a surprise charm waiting just for you. Each charm is a unique keepsake and carefully selected to match the theme of each candle. We have new scents every single month, and you can save 10% on a subscription when you sign up at wizardingcandles.com.
Pop of the morning, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture. As always, I'm your one true host, Jazzy J, joined as usual by my brother and the one true co-host, Buzzy Benjamin B. Ben, how are you doing? Are you feeling rested after our first weekend in 18 days?
No, I'm feeling a brawl.
You feeling a brawl?
I'm feeling a brawl.
Like you want to throw down?
Throw down.
You want to bro down?
Ooh, do you smell what the bro is cooking?
The brock?
No, I do. So to answer your question, I feel rather great. Well, I will say that this past weekend was maybe the fastest paced weekend of my whole life. Like I could not believe how it was like Friday night, then Saturday night, then Sunday night, then morning, and then back into the grind. And I was like, wow. Like, to me, it almost demonstrated the fact that like I needed rest that much.
Yeah. Like it just flew by.
It just flew by. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like every second just like clicked right on by, went very, very fast. How about you? Did you get to do any relaxation?
I got to do a little bit of relaxation. Yeah. I had scheduled a massage for Saturday. Cause I don't know if we talked about it last week, but during tour, like there were a couple of nights when we were getting on stage and we had just been in the car for like 9 hours the day before, and my neck was like so stiff, I think from just sort of like looking down at my phone for like such a long time in the car, or like doing the reading for the next chapter or whatever.
Yeah, there was one drive in particular where I feel like you were on like a Marvel Snap like bender, and I was like, man, I think he's been going for like a minute over there. And you're right, yeah, it's just that sort of like, I'm sure the same thing used to happen to us like when we like be super into video games when we were kids, where you just sort of like get locked into a position and you're just like not doing anything else except for like, you know, hand on the mouse or like,
yeah.
I always think about my four fingers from playing Diablo so much. It's like you could use your potions on 1, 2, 3, 4, like the keys, and so like. Like sometimes like I will like sit down at my or stand at my computer and I will like put my hands in the resting position for like Diablo 2 potions, even though I haven't played proper in years.
And like
now.
A long time. It's just sort of like where it's comfortable. Yeah. For Diablo 4, it's like very similar situation. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4. But instead of potions being there, it's like you have like that many different skills.
Oh.
So you have like the four skills at your fingers and then like one on each mouse click as well.
Okay.
So you can like really... Like, you really have to be like, oh, what am I doing here? This one, that one, that one, this one, this one, this one. You know, you're like launching off all sorts of stuff.
3, 1, 2, 2, 4.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, oh my gosh, is this one recharged yet? Hurry up. Boom. Go. Okay.
Wouldn't it be amazing if the creators of Diablo were like oddly into like poetry and like the best like power combos were like iambic pentameter?
Oh my
or
God. That'd be so
like,
weird.
Yeah. It's like you got to do like a rhyme scheme.
Yeah. Right. Know? Like, it's just, if you can do this one in the right order and get the rhythm down, guess what? You'll recharge. recharge your mana infinitely, and no one will be able to touch you because of like infinite knockback or something.
Boom.
That'd be great.
Completely protected.
There we go.
But yeah, no, so I'm glad though. Massages are, well, I guess there's two notes there. One was that I feel like the what we basically came to for support was I would just take my elbow and just press it as hard as I could into yes. your shoulders.
Yeah.
And there's that kind of, this is point number two, which is always my concern with going to get a massage, is like there's sort of like the, like, I think whenever I've gotten a massage, I like refuse to speak or make any sound or do anything at all.
Yeah.
I am like very like, I'm like just, but I don't know if that's worse, you know? So like if the person is like giving you the massage and you don't react or make any sounds, they're like, I have no idea. Is this even like, you know,
is this working?
Yeah.
I think it is. I don't think that matters. Like, having not done many, but like two in the past like month or so.
Right. Yeah.
Like I would say that like on neither occasion did the person, like once the actual massage began, on neither occasion did like the person speak to me
okay.
at all. And like there were obvious points where like they would be like working on like an area of my back or something. And it would be like, you could tell they had like found a spot and it was like, we really need to work on this one, and they would like really focus on it. So like whether you're reacting, they like know what they're feeling for.
They can feel the yeah. That's the other thing I always think is like, it's always been so satisfying, and I don't know if it's just like the validation, but like when you're getting a massage, you're like, dang, you have a big knot, and you're like, thank you, it's not just me.
It's yes,
yeah,
there is like that validation of like, yes, there is actual tension back there. It's not just me like feeling stressed, like it's physically literally there.
Yes yeah. If the like whatever my aches are, you have found them.
Yes,
they it's, you know, because I think so often, yeah, you're feeling like the emotional weight, and it's like, actually, although sometimes that does happen in therapy as well, it's like they're feeling around for something and they find the point and you're like, okay, yep, you found it. Anyway, but yeah, so no, I kicked off with wanting to have a proper brawl.
Oh yeah,
a bro down.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not really. What actually is happening here is that I've had notes written in the show notes for the show for quite some time now. And
yes.
It's one of these pieces of information that I stumbled across an article, and it is basically how to argue like effectively. And it was something that I was like, this is really well written, and I think it's something that like many people could benefit from going into their like conversations, whether it's like with friends, coworkers, significant others, like whatever the case may be, family members and stuff, because it outlines such a reasonable approach as to how to do an argument. And it's a, I think, a four-step process.
Yes. So just to outline before we begin, when you say effective, do you mean effective at like winning your argument or at having a constructive like takeaway?
Oh, good question. Yes. Good question. Because yeah, no, I'm not a believer in winning arguments.
Okay.
Like, I think that's silliness. Like,
okay.
Because most of the time, if there is somebody who I am willing to have a in-depth conversation with,
yeah,
it's because me and that person, like if I don't want resolution with you, then chances are we will never have the conversation in the first place.
Yeah.
Because it's like I am in some version, shape, or form attempting to just sort of do the like, you, I, like somehow, some way, I've decided that you are not a person who I need to be like in my direct orbit. And therefore, it's like my lack of communication should be the indication that something is more wrong.
Right.
So typically, like I want to have powerful conversations with people who I want resolution with. So if anything, as strange as it may be to look at it, I think there should be something to be said. Like if somebody's having an argument with you, it should be a form of flattery, because it means that they want to fix it.
I do know what you mean. Like this is like sometimes when, you know, like kids will like throw a fit or something at home.
Yes.
It is like, it can be so frustrating. But like a lot of times what it can mean is that like your kid feels safe at home.
Yes.
Which is why they feel like safe to act that way. And it's like, you have to deal with it and it's so frustrating, but it is like overall a good sign.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I honestly, I've thought about this so many times, especially since becoming a parent, but like I know for a fact that when I was a child, like I would go to school, I would witness things all day long. I would see, I grew up with like a group of classmates that I feel like were typically having a hard time in school, whether it was like with, but really not so much the academic aspect of it. Like it never seemed like that was the issue. It was more like the behavioral thing. Mm-hmm. And so like a lot of times when we reflect on things, because we're so close in age, we had many of the same teachers.
Yeah.
And you were growing up, near as I can tell, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, with a group of kids that were all jiving. Like it seemed like you had lots of friends in your class. It seemed like everybody kind of like went on to do good things. And very little like discipline was required for your group of 20-ish students that elementary schooled together.
Yeah, I mean, there was not, we didn't have tons of like crazy behavior or problems anyway. Like I do, you know, like our teachers would have like those charts that are like, you know, first strike, second strike, third strike or whatever, like, you know, move your baseball bat down to whatever, and you know, this is this level of warning or whatever. And I would say like on like typically like maybe one kid would get it moved one spot every other day, you know, like,
okay.
Most people, they just did, they listened. I don't know. I can't speak. I feel like there was like a particular group in elementary school that like, it's like maybe the parents were talking, like requesting the same teachers all together over and over.
Oh, so you guys kept being like kept together.
Kind of kept like, you know, not that there weren't changes every single year, but it seemed like there were like maybe like roughly 10 or so of us that were like most of the time kind of in the same class.
That's handy.
Yeah.
That's handy. Yeah. But so on the flip side, I often felt like what I was experiencing at school was like, you know, you're watching your teachers, who again, now I have like a whole new appreciation for as well, because when you're a child, you only see them as an adult. Like I oftentimes would subscribe to that, like my teacher lives here, right? Like they can't possibly have like a life outside of school. Like right. What, like they leave and go home and have dinner with like a family too? Like that seems so strange. But when you think about like a lot of these teachers being like in their like their early 20s or whatever, and like, you know, for all intents and purposes, they're still in the early stages of their own teaching careers.
Yeah.
And so but I remember each of those teachers reaching absolute breaking points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like I remember watching my teachers like break down in tears or scream at, you know, like somebody in the classroom or something was going on where you're just sort of like, whoa, like something is happening right now. So oftentimes when I was in class, I would be like witnessing kids who are struggling or whatever. And, you know, like sometimes like you're internalizing it. Sometimes like you want to say something out loud to them because you're like, God, you're going to make us lose recess again. Like,
right.
You know, I remember one teacher, like she got so frustrated with us. She would write recess on the board and each letter represented 3 minutes of recess time that we got.
Oh, wow.
So R E C, is there two C's in recess? E S S.
Yeah. I think that sounds right.
Six letters.
Recess. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway. No, so 18 or 21 minutes was the maximum amount of recess time, which whenever, this is another thing I've looked back on. I'm always like, it feels like taking away the ability for the kids to go out and just like run.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Like kids need recess for sure.
Yeah.
Like denying them that, not doing yourself any favors at
yes.
the end of the day for sure. I think now there's like, or at least at like Luke's school, there's like two required 20-minute recesses every day.
What?
Yeah.
40 minutes?
40 minutes of recess a day.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, that's pretty good. I'm pretty sure when I was in school it was 15 minutes, but I think it was twice a day.
I don't ever remember mine being twice a day, other than just gym class that you had.
Well, sure.
At some point in time. Recess has one C.
Okay, there we go. Look at us.
I know. I'm so embarrassed that like took me a second, but it was like it feels like one of those words it could be two. Anyway, but I remember one day in fourth grade, we got all the way down to the R, and sure enough, our teacher lined us up, took us all the way outside, like was like, "All right, guys, go play." And then 3 minutes later, called us back in. We
wow.
went right back to class.
Man, that's so short.
Like, I know. It was, I mean, and
you still remember it.
I do. I mean, that one in particular, because it was like, I think even as like, how old are you in eighth grade? Like 8 or 9. I was like, that was a bit much.
In you eighth know? Grade?
No. In eighth grade. Did I say eighth grade? Fourth
yeah,
grade. I was
fourth
eight,
grade.
8 or 9.
Oh, okay.
In fourth grade. Yeah.
I was like, I don't remember having recess at all in eighth grade.
Yeah. No,
yeah.
Then it's just gym class.
Yeah.
Yeah. But What I was gonna say though is that like I'd watch these kids and I could tell that like they were like frustrating the teachers. I think that like in a lot of ways I like the people pleaserness of me even as a child was like picking up on who not to be like or how not who not to be. That is the wrong phrasing. How not to be. Because I think that there were certain like behaviors I could see. It's like you are just kind of shooting yourself in the foot over here. Like, you know, you're like actively struggling and losing the teacher's patience at the same time, and the end result is that they are becoming with time less and less and less tolerant of everything. And I feel like that's this like downward spiral that I could witness happen year in, year out with respective students in my classes.
Yeah.
Which was tough. But then to your point where it's like the people you're most comfortable with, then I remember I would go home and a lot of times you'd have like all this like pent up everything and you're like, okay, well, mom and dad, you have to love me.
Yeah, right. And I'm angry that we only had 3 minutes of recess today.
And I only had 3 minutes of recess. And like, you know, even then it's like one of those things where it's like, I didn't realize that was unreasonable. Like I knew in class that it was unreasonable. I don't think it was the type of thing I knew to go home and be like, we only had 3 minutes of recess today. That's why I'm so angry.
Yeah.
You know, like, or frustrated or whatever.
Oh like, yeah. You know? Yeah. You have trouble like comprehending like what's making you angry all the time.
Yeah. It's like, you don't know what's fair because it's like, you're just looking to the adults and they're the people who are making the decisions. And those decisions then just sort of are like, well, that's what they chose. So anyway, that was a long way around to just being like, I remember as a child behaving in that way, but now as a parent, it is interesting because you can understand like why, like when Addie goes and stays like with like one of the grandparents or something, it seems like she's reasonably well behaved in those capacities. Then oftentimes she'll come home and she's, you know, tired or worn out or there was sugar in the equation or something like
right,
that.
And then
she's very upset all of a sudden. So that's the ignition point. But that brings me back to my original conversation. How to argue.
How to argue. All right. How do you do it, Ben?
Okay. So I think we're going to try to create a mythological situation here, which might be, let's say you have your significant other. You go out and find that your significant other was flirted with.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, so and surely a common experience of jealousy.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? Is that a fair assessment?
Sure.
Good example.
Good
relatable.
Example. Okay. I think people will get it. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool. Okay. So how to argue. Point number one is basically trying to define, this is what I saw or heard. And it says, describe what happened in one sentence. Share only the facts one's camera could record, which I think is a really helpful tip. So you start the conversation and like, I think easily what could happen is during this experience, you might feel some measure of jealousy or frustration or like as if you've been wronged either by the other person or maybe by your significant other, whatever the case maybe, maybe you close down, or maybe you're like unwilling to talk about it, or maybe you're being cold, or you know, something like that could happen.
Yeah.
Because there's so much more that's happening inside of your mind. But in terms of communicating it to the person, because sometimes the significant other doesn't even know that the perception is what the perception was.
That like they just walk away and it was just like, oh yeah, the guy standing next to me made a joke at the bar.
Yes. Like, right. What a friendly guy, you
right.
know, like,
yeah,
had a hilarious one-liner anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and so from them, maybe it wasn't a big deal. So all important things to keep in mind. But I like that phrasing though, share only the facts one's camera could record. So you would start by saying something along the lines of like, yeah, like, tonight I saw you and this person talking and laughing.
Right.
It's
there
like,
you go.
Like you got your GoPro on, your body cam on, whatever the case may be. It's like, that is what you witnessed.
Right.
So step one.
Step one. Okay.
Step two. This is what I made up about it in my head.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
So separate these two things.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Because I feel like it's often sort of like, yeah, you would sort of, that first step, you could very easily like mix the things.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like you can like let your internal monologue inform like how you're interpreting it.
Precisely.
Yeah. Yep. Versus what you actually saw.
Yes. And it says that using this phrase, this is what I made up about it in my head, helps acknowledge that your perception of the situation could be inaccurate.
Right.
So this kind of goes back to that sentiment where like maybe your significant other walked away and was like, wow, they told a funny joke. How about that? That's it.
Right.
You know? And so it's like, you may have seen it one way and it could be your own insecurity or whatever that is like informing that visualization, but they may not have known anything about it. So I think acknowledging that your perception might be inaccurate, very responsibility. And it says that it's taking responsibility that this is your construction of the series of events. So this would be the point in time where it's like, this is what I made up about it in my head, is that I saw that you were laughing really hard at this person's jokes, and that like that made me believe that you would rather be spending time with that person than with me.
Right.
Right. Easy enough.
Sure. Yep.
Okay. So then three, this is how I felt. And so this outlines specifically feelings only, not thoughts or beliefs. And I think this is another good one, because it's like, you could say, witnessing this particular occasion made me feel insecure.
Right.
Like, it made me feel worried. It made me feel jealous.
Right.
Like, it's not suggesting to them, like, you like that person, don't you?
Right. Yeah. You know, yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, it's
not like accusatory or anything.
Precisely.
It's just acknowledging how it made you feel.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Which I think even in a nutshell, oftentimes that's probably so, like, if you think of nothing else when going into conversations with people you care about, I think that's always a good starting point. Like, it made me feel blank. It made me feel angry. It made me feel sad. It made me feel hurt. Maybe feel whatever. Like, I think because that's a good jumping off.
Made point. You feel a certain kind of way.
It made me feel a certain kind of way. Yeah. But be more specific than a, certain, kind
a certain kind of way.
Yeah, a certain kind of way.
You know,
that's a vagueism.
Fill in the blank. Yeah.
Okay. I don't subscribe to the made me feel a certain kind of way.
No, me neither. Yeah.
Let's see here. So then step number four, this is what would help me. This is what would help me feel better. This is the one that people most often leave out, but making your needs clear is a necessary step, because you can't complain about not getting what you never asked for, which I think is another good thing to outline, because it's very easy to like have it in your head that you want them to come to your conclusion and solve it the way that you want them to solve it.
Right.
However, you are two completely different human beings with two completely unique sets of circumstances and conflict resolution and all the rest.
Yeah.
And inside of this particular situation, especially going back to that person who from the very beginning was like, I just laughed at a joke and walked away. Like, you know, like yes, they said something funny that had nothing to do with my desire to go and marry that person and run off into the sunset with them.
Right.
Like that. Those are, I think, the instances where it's really difficult to get this kind of validation, because they're like, I don't even know where you had a completely unique experience from my experience tonight.
Right.
Out at whatever place that we were at was. So this is, I think, also the good one. So basically it'd be like it would just make me feel better to know, like, that's not somebody you're romantically interested in. And it's like, oh, I'm not. Perfect.
Cool.
Yes. Good to know.
Good.
Like, yes. Or you know, whatever the case may be. Obviously, this is more user-based.
Right. Yeah. You know, fill in the blank on whatever situation you happen to be in.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, I thought, I was like, I read through that and I was like, dude, I would almost have this like tattooed on my arm, you know, like as like a like, okay, hold on, Ben, slow down. Step number one. Step number two.
Right.
You know, like, you know, it's like, it's such a good reminder. So like, I think I've like me and Alice, since I found this like 4 weeks ago or something like that. So it's been in the show notes forever.
Yeah. Have you used it in arguments since then?
Well, I think that me and Allie had a conversation where I literally was like, hold on, I'm going to go pull up the text and I'm going to try to like go through the motions. But
right.
The other pro tip I would have there is sharing these rules with your partner, so that you're almost like this thing happened last night while we were out, whatever. Can we go through these steps together? Because then I think even that, I think, goes to show so much more that like what I am attempting to do is just find resolution.
Right.
Like, because I think a lot of times what happens in instances like this is people get very defensive.
Yeah. I think it's easy to feel accused. And if you feel accused, it's almost impossible not to become defensive.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I think for the most part, it's also just a good indicator, you know, of the person that you're around is, you know, ideally they would have a high willingness to just see it through. Cause like, you know, nobody wants to have conflict with someone they care about, and almost anybody's willing to have a 10-minute conversation to solve it.
Right.
You know, so I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Like that. That's all very good guidelines for getting conflict resolution out of an argument.
Yes.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom.
Finally discussed it.
There we go. I know. I keep seeing it and I'm like, Ben puts such a big block of text in the notes. I feel like a lot of times if it's like a little one, like, oh, maybe we'll talk about this, and that goes to, you know, goes on the show notes for like 3 weeks or something. It's like, I don't even care about this anymore.
Yes. Yeah.
Moving on. But this was such a big block. I was like, we should probably talk about it eventually.
I know. Yeah.
And so today we have.
We done. Check.
Yeah, we did.
Transition.
Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Yo, when we first started making content online, I remember the very first time somebody left a comment asking where they could buy our merch. It was a wild moment, almost like a rite of passage. I was on cloud nine until I realized I had to find a way to make that possible. And that's where Shopify steps in. Shopify made it so easy to take that comment to heart and put our first t-shirts online available for, you know, that one person that wanted it. Now, years later, we rely on Shopify every day and have a whole lineup of products from coffee to candles and, of course, t-shirts. And while we always love the comments letting us know what y'all want, Shopify makes it easy to know what y'all are actually loving. So upgrade your business and get the same checkout that we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/poppop.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Fiji Water. Y'all, I have been having one heck of an amazing summer. Lake days on the boat have been some of the best of my life, and on those hot days, I love to keep Fiji Water on hand to keep my family and myself hydrated and refreshed. It really is from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji Water collects in a sustainable, ancient artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. And as the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its soft, smooth taste. And unlike some other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring, and this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7, and because I'm a complete aquarium nerd, I tested this with some of my pH test kits and can tell you, confirmed. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water. So get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office. It's not just water, it's Fiji Water.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Feather Snap. Y'all, I have officially reached the age where when it rains, I stand on my porch with my coffee mug in hand and declare, we really needed this. And with that, Alice and I have also taken to not only watching the many birds of our backyard, but also work to learn their specific bird calls. I kid you not, this very morning, Alice called me out to our porch to let me know, and I quote, "Aw, the morning doves are back." Which is why I'm so excited to tell you about the Feather Snap Scout Bird Feeder, which comes equipped with a top-of-the-line camera so you can grab images of all of your bird feeder customers and identify them thanks to expert-trained AI. It's so easy to set up and easy to use with built-in solar panels that means less recharging and more bird watching. The feeder pairs with a Feather Snap app that lets you organize your favorite pictures, and you can learn fun facts about hundreds of species and even earn badges for IDing new birds. Seriously, it is so fun, so be sure to check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
Ben, do you want to hear a corny joke?
Yes.
Okay. All right. This is from my son, Luke.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Did he invent this one?
I don't know if he invented it or just heard it, but he told it to me the other day. And a lot of times he'll tell me jokes that have like the framework of a joke, but not really much of a punchline in the end. And this one had a absolute, like, that was good. You got it. You understood a joke. Good
Nailed
job.
It. Yeah.
Bravo.
Yeah.
You're like on the cusp of understanding how the jokes work.
Amazing. So that's, amazing.
That's fun. So what does ice cream do when it gets mad?
Screams.
Solid guess. I guess it has a meltdown.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
I know. I'm like, that's so good. Ice cream melts. It has a meltdown. It has angry. A meltdown.
Yeah. Oh, cute ice cream joke.
I know. Yeah. Yes. Very good. Very good. But yeah, those are sometimes I'll just get jokes from him that are very, very nonsensical. It'll just be like, why did the three trees fall down? And it'd be like, why? It's like, because they fell down. And you're like, yeah, okay.
That's a really good one.
Really
too.
Good one.
That's
yeah.
A really, yeah, I love yeah, it. I love
solid,
it.
Solid.
Way to go, Lukester.
Yeah.
He's just forging his path towards his towards learning like humor.
Exactly.
But I think it's interesting because that even is like a big layer of like understanding the world around you and understanding concepts well enough to know the traditional meaning of something and then turning it just ever so slightly to give it like a humorous gloss.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so much about like early jokes are just understanding that whatever the pun was had two meanings and that you found a clever way to mix those meanings.
Yes.
And that one, you're using the inappropriate one as the punchline of the joke. And it's like, oh, wait, it still makes sense, but now it's funny.
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go. I was, you know, good for Luke. I don't know if he just heard that one at school and told it to me or if he thought of it himself. If he thought of it himself, he'd be pretty proud of him.
It's pretty clever.
That's pretty good clever. Otherwise. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He's killing it on that front.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So let's see here, Jay. I have another question for you that hopefully isn't too pie in the sky.
Oh boy.
But I think it'll be interesting to ask you in particular because I think you might fall into an interesting category.
Oh, inside gosh. Of this one. Okay. Okay.
Oh gosh. Okay. So do you know anybody or would you consider yourself to be unfiltered?
Unfiltered, like just let it rip.
Just let it rip.
Like you mean like in conversation?
In conversation.
I don't think I would necessarily consider myself unfiltered. No. Like there are times in my life where maybe I have been, but most of the time I think I'm a little more like I try to be a little more like thoughtful
like yeah
than just like let it rip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so here was like my interesting my well I think it's interesting because I thought it so
okay yeah.
so there's that.
Think yourself very interesting over there, Ben. Okay.
I think my thoughts can be interesting. I don't know if I think I'm interesting.
Oh, okay. You are not your thoughts.
That's a well, actually, that might be about the question I'm about to ask.
Okay.
So let's see what happens. Okay, because the question about somebody who was unfiltered is, are they being like their most authentic self?
Are they being their most authentic self?
Because like I think here would be like the I'm gonna read what I wrote and hopefully it makes sense, and if not, ask me questions. Is the knowledge of not saying what you're thinking actually better, or is it just complying with like your perception of social norms?
Okay. Yeah. So
society tells us to tell the person that the new jacket looks nice.
Yeah.
But you might think the jacket doesn't look nice, and it would be a rude thing to assert your opinion on this particular situation because maybe they're excited about the jacket.
Right. I think, I see what you mean. Like, I think so. Are they the most authentic self? Is the knowledge of not saying what you're thinking actually better, or is it just complying with them? Okay, so my thought is that not every thought needs to be said out loud.
Okay.
Like, there are plenty of things that, like, flit through your mind and then you decide that's not nice or that's not going to be constructive or whatever. And indeed, like, you know, like I think we've talked before about like, you know, having like a scarcity mindset versus like an abundance mindset or whatever.
Yeah, yep.
You know, like if you hear that, you know, you're your friend got a big promotion, and the immediate flash in your mind is like, oh no, that makes me feel like I'm falling behind,
right,
or whatever. And like that might flash through your brain for like a second, and then like a minute later, like, you know, like half a second later, you can just be happy for that person and realize like that's not what that means, you know? But so I think if you were entirely unfiltered, they might be like, I got promoted. And you're like, oh God, that makes me feel so bad about myself. Like, I don't think that's not necessarily the thing you need to voice, you know?
No, that's like, true. That's true.
You know,
yes.
Like that, not all thoughts need to be said out loud. However, in like your example, like someone gets a new jacket and they walk in, and you know they're proud of it, and you're like, I don't know if I like that or not. That's an example. That's a thing. Another one was like, you probably don't necessarily need to say it, but it might depend on like what the situation is. Like just on tour here, we were getting ready for a show one night, and editor Isabel was trying to match a pin to like a belt she was wearing or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yes. Because she had like a gold chain that she'd been wearing around like her skirt.
Yeah.
And there was sort of like a, we had like our through the Gryffindor pins that we have on tour that are like a bronze color.
Yeah.
And so the idea was to try to like put the pin through this like cool opening in like the gold chain so that it was sort of like brandifying the look.
The look. And she put it on and she was like, what do you guys think? And I think, and my immediate response was, I don't like it. but because like, I honestly didn't think the two, like it was like a bronze pin and a gold chain, and they like were right up against each other. I didn't think it matched. It looked like a little bit more cluttered, and she was going to be on stage. And I know she cares about how she looks and is presented, and I was like, I don't like, on the one hand, it's like, is it rude to say you don't like it, or is it rude to let you go on actually looking bad?
No, and I think that's a really good example, because you're talking about like two medals that were different colors, different styles, different finishes, and whatever. So it's like, it's that's like one, especially because like we're all out there performing together as well, so you know, there's that element of like, you know, it probably is the right thing to just like let you know, like, I don't think it's working in this particular instance.
Right. And it's just like the honesty in those situations is like better. Cause sometimes like you're really asking, like, I don't know what I think about this. And it's like, if it's not good, tell me, cause I don't want to look stupid.
Exactly. You know? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I think there's that, but I actually I like your job question. Cause I almost think that one, cause like there's something to be said, like, you know, do you like this jacket or whatever, where it's like, you know, if someone's asking your opinion, that's one thing for sure. Cause I guess you could just provide whatever feedback is necessary, or like, it's like, you know, you could be like, I don't think it actually fits that well or something, you know, it's like there could be things that you might say, but there's also sort of that, like, if it's completely like unprompted and somebody just like walks into a room and you're like, I don't like that jacket. It's like,
yeah,
okay, well, you know, not everybody's doing everything for your subjective opinion.
Exactly.
And so it's like, you know, it doesn't matter if it doesn't appease you, if it makes them happy, like that's like, that is the empowerment of fashion, you know, like that is what you should be able to do,
right,
you know, is to make things that make you feel confident, necessarily please every other person in the room. But so there is the thought, you're right. Like, I think there's the whiplash effect. So friend gets a new big job promotion, or, you know, they buy like some type of ridiculously cool new house or car, you know, something fancy happens that you're sort of like, oh man, like, you know, that's making me feel left behind. I agree that I don't think the right thing is to just unfiltered be like, well, this makes me feel less than, you
right.
know, because then you're taking their win and you've made it about you. So that is not necessarily like the, like, you know, don't speak that, you know, I think that's something to be said. However, I do think it's interesting, because if that's like the knee jerk reaction in the situation, to me, it's almost like you could use the things you don't say as like little flags. Like, those are like good things to like, to keep in mind, because I do think those are things that maybe you could potentially work on.
Yeah.
You know, cause then you could ask yourself, it's like, why was my knee jerk reaction to feel like more greater sense of like, you know, jealousy, or again, insecurity, or, you know, something attached to this good thing that happened to a person that I care about, rather than just simply being happy for their accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know, then I think that that's the kind of thing where you can go through, and if you can work on it, like, I actually think that there's a way to work towards the stage where when that news arrives, you know, with other friends or whatever, or the same person, you know, who's on this amazing upward trajectory, apparently. Like when you get
new car, promotion, doing great.
I know. Yeah. They're killing it. But like, it seems like you can work towards a world where you can actually like kind of overcome whatever that first response was, and hopefully like have your first response just be like, wow.
Right.
That's so great.
Yeah.
It's almost like a new muscle you have to like work out.
I would agree with that.
You know,
yeah.
And it kind of like grows. Work. It grows with time.
Yes. I would say on the flip side as well, though, sometimes Beth and I will be talking and she will say something and like I will try and like if I have like, I would like try and be processing it, and she can just sort of like tell that I'm like restraining myself from saying things or whatever. She'll be like I'm trying to like formulate what I want to say, but it's like, I don't know. It's clearly something that's like either frustrating to me or something.
Right.
And she'll just be like, just say it out loud. And like, you're doing that thing where you're talking in your head and you're not saying it, just say it out loud. And then like, if she prompts me, then I'll be like, yeah, okay, fine. And I'll just like say it out loud. And it's like, normally I'm not saying those things because I'm afraid that if I say those things, it will come across very like harsh or rude or something. But then I would like, without fail, if I just say it out loud, then she just knows what I'm feeling and it's much easier to move forward.
Yeah.
So I think the reverse, I think, is true sometimes too.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that's great on Beth's part, because I think like to me, like opening the stage for dialogue is something like, and I don't know if this is true or not, but like, in my opinion, I almost feel like you can't do it enough. Like I'm almost always just trying to be like I keep the stage like in my back pocket, you know. Yeah. It's almost like, are we good? Do we need to talk about this? Like, right. It's like, hang on. Opportunity to discuss. We good?
We good.
Okay. We're good. Anything going on in your mind? I'm happy to, like, I will stop what we're doing right now. Let's talk.
Just say it.
You know? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll put it back.
Yep.
You know? And so sometimes like, you know, that's, I think it's a sign of a good partner, you know, in your example with Beth.
Yeah.
Cause I think it means that she's opening that stage and she's dialed into you and knows you well enough to be like, pause. That's bothering you. Why?
Right.
You know? And then the good news is that hopefully she learned something about you, and that practice, I would imagine, strengthens the relationship. And because she puts that forward for you, it also, I would imagine, sets the scenario up where you could do the same in return.
Oh, no, she has no issue with that. Beth says what she's feeling all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
If she's feeling something, I'm hearing about it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So maybe the stage doesn't need to be set, but she's just more willing to speak.
Yeah.
So that's the question to them. If Beth wasn't willing to speak, what do you think would happen to her?
Oh, I don't know. What do you like? I don't.
I'll read you what I wrote.
Okay.
Because I kind of gave you like a leading question, wondering if you'd just land where I was attempting to lead you. So no worries there. Occasionally, I think I practice restraint from making such comments. Like, I don't think that somebody could say about me like, oh, no. If Ben has an issue, he's going to let you know. Probably the exact opposite is true.
Okay.
Except also people couldn't say that because they would have no idea.
Right.
Because I don't say anything.
Okay.
And so sometimes I think the end result is, like in the short term, I usually believe this to be a good thing, because it's almost like you're becoming like non-confrontational inside of the moment. But then you also sort of like have taken this like internal, like you've taken these like negative feelings and you just sort of like kept them stored.
Right.
You know, and then they don't have anywhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they want somewhere to go.
Right.
And so sometimes I think like that's the challenging thing that like I'll find myself running into, where it's like, I think it's good to make sure you're filtering, you know, your feedback and your comments, or you're not assuming that you know better than other people, and just sort of trying to like lay down the law on your basis of how the world's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really who I know that that's not who I am.
Right.
And so that's sort of like where some of the filtration comes from. But that's where I'm like, man, sometimes like, I feel like it would just be better to just like, it's like I said earlier, like I like a, like not, I don't, not that I love an argument, but I think arguments are productive. Arguments are meant for people who want to continue and strengthen their relationship with each other.
Because, right.
Because both people tend to learn something important and then grow from it.
Right.
As long as there's the mutual respect involved that is determined to maintain that relationship.
Yeah.
But that, I don't know. Yeah. So that was sort of like where my internal struggle was coming from, was like, should I be speaking up more, or is it better to sort of like know the rules of society and being like respectful and just sort of like, you know what, I'll just keep that to myself.
Right.
You know, cause there is that, like, you know, if you don't have anything nice to say.
Right. Just don't say anything at all.
Just don't say anything at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're saying sometimes maybe you should say something.
I'm curious if I should. Cause I'm mostly the question is whether or not you're holding on to like a negative feeling that needs to go somewhere.
Right. I suppose. Yeah. That's like I feel like it's a good, like, rule for kids, probably, like, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. But it's like, just because you don't have something nice to say doesn't mean you have something mean to say. You know, it's like not
true
absolute all the time. It's like, just because you don't, it's like, maybe it's like, if maybe it should be revised as like, if you have something mean to say, don't say anything at all.
Yeah, right. Right. Yes. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. But so then, you know, the other kind of hilarious thing about it, to think about it from like a high school capacity, you almost wonder if like on some level this is like the birthplace of gossip. Because I think oftentimes a lot of like what you witness in high school is probably people who are like showing restraint from being mean or to saying something directly to someone's face. But then what they do with that information is go and they're like at the lunch table and they're like, you're not going to believe what happened with this person, you know? And then you're sort of like, instead of getting it out of your system by talking to the person directly, you've gotten it out of your system by talking to other people. And the problem with gossip is, you know, that word like juicy is so attached to it, because I think it's like, it's very,
it's very like viral.
It's very viral. Yeah.
If, like, good, you know, if one person hears it and it's really interesting, then now they have something fun to tell other people.
Exactly.
Yeah. And
exactly.
Then it just spreads and, you know.
Right. Yeah. But I think some level of the initial argument is that gossip doesn't necessarily, the origination point of gossip, I don't feel like necessarily solely spreads from the like, dude, guess what I heard? Like, that is, I think, gossip trading hands, because someone who is non-emotionally invested in the situation just gets the face value interesting fun fact,
right,
that they get to go and then share with other people, and then they got to be the messenger of something thrilling.
Yeah.
You know, but I think the birthplace of gossip is usually coming from somebody who is originally being like negatively impacted and then taking the information and putting it somewhere else.
Right.
You know, so it's like, it's almost like their own internal processing, but then the problem is that it spreads like wildfire.
Right. Yeah.
So the question there is almost like, can you hamper gossip by being more direct?
You could probably hamper gossip about yourself. Right.
Would it be about yourself? Or like, would it be about like, I'm trying to lay an example in my head for it. But if you have an exchange with somebody and like, let's say, we'll use jealousy again because it seems like the topic of the day. So let's say you find out that Mark went on a date with Julie and you have a crush on Julie.
Right.
And so you hear about this particular situation and then you start going and spreading the word to your friends. And like on some capacity, you're going and trying to be like, I'm kind of jealous because Mark got to go on a date with Julie, you know? And so you go and pass the information along. Then all of your friends at the lunch table who are not emotionally invested just have this fun fact.
Fun fact that you're jealous.
Either that you are jealous or that Mark went on a date with Julie.
Okay.
One or the other.
Okay.
So I suppose it could spread in both different directions at that point in time. Then maybe the gossip's about you and you're like, wow, Ben's super jealous of Mark going on a date with Julie.
So how would being more direct with this be? Just talking straight to Julie?
Maybe talking straight with Julie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Would probably be the thing, or, you know, would it even make sense to just tell Mark like, wow, I'm super jealous. Well done.
Well done.
Does that aid anything. Probably not.
Probably doesn't feel like talking to Mark helps your cause that
maybe
much.
Maybe not. Okay. Maybe. Okay. So then maybe what you have to do is talk to Julie.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably the person to talk to.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because then it's up to her, you know.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Good
right.
Point.
Yeah. She can just like be like, yeah, sorry, you're not so great. And I'm going to Mark right now.
You
so.
Know, this jumps back down to our thing from earlier where it's like, this is what would make me help. This is what would help make me feel better. You can't complain about not getting what you never asked for. This is the point where it's like, did you ever ask out Julie?
Right. Yeah.
You know,
right.
So it's like this goes back to a different example from right. Today's episode.
Right. Exactly. It's yeah. Like, yeah. How well do you even know Julie? Have you ever even talked to her? You know?
Right. Right. It's yeah. Like, you ruined my chances to date Julie.
Yes, exactly.
But it's like, but Julie didn't even know you were like, maybe Julie's over there like, man, I really wish they would ask me out. But like, yeah. Now I'm going on a date with Mark.
Right. Yes. I do remember this kind of logic in middle school.
Yeah.
Where it'd be like, oh yeah, I like this girl. And someone would be mad at you. They'd be like, you can't like her. I like her. Like, does she even know you like her? It's like, no.
Right, and it's right, like, right. Well,
and don't be mad at me. Yeah.
Yes. No. That is very true. And I mean, that is the it is sort of the rather ones and zeros relationship with how romantic relationships in our society work.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's not like you can agree to be like, okay, how about we both date Julie?
Yeah. No, that doesn't work.
Yeah, that doesn't really fall into our social norm. So
nope.
that certainly becomes a little bit of a problem. Or to even figure out how you're going to find the middle ground. Oh, here's a question. I don't know if you'd have a whole lot of feedback.
Oh boy.
I always find this to be a weird observation. However, of the girls that I have dated in my life, I have often found that I get along extremely well with their exes.
With their exes.
Yes.
Interesting.
Because they are the common interest, right? So it's almost like take Name of the Wind, for example. If I go out into the world and I'm at like a dinner party and somebody down the table is spitting a theory about Master Illodin and I'm like, ears up, what are you talking about down there? I'm interested in that conversation. Did we just become best friends? We like the same thing.
Right.
Okay. Now replace that with we both dated Julie.
Right.
You know,
okay.
It's like now all of a sudden we're the same type of person who likes Julie, which maybe means that we're the same type of person as each other.
I see what you mean.
But the problem is that we both dated Julie.
Right, because she has a type and you were both that type.
Correct.
And because you're the same type, you probably get along together.
Correct.
Yeah, I can see how that would work. I'm trying to think if I'm friends with any of my ex's exes, and I don't think that I am.
Yeah. Question mark? Okay.
Question mark, yeah. No, not really.
No. Okay.
Yeah. So
well, I wouldn't say that I've maintained any like long-term relation or friendships through this particular mechanism. So I can't exactly be like, hey guys, pro tip.
Right. Yeah.
Your ex, their exes, your new best friends.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
I have witnessed it happen on occasion where I also do feel like just people in my life that have dated the same person and those two people end up being friends. Alice has a friend who comes from a similar capacity.
Okay.
You know, some they both sort of have someone shared their past.
I can see too where it would definitely be a bonding experience if said shared relationship
was negative.
Yeah, yeah. If you were like dumped in the same capacity or something,
right,
you know, like then it's like, oh yeah, I went through the exact same thing you went through.
Yes. Yeah, a real misery loves its company.
Exactly. Kind of like that.
Yeah.
I can see that being a thing. And I can see it depending as well, like, you know, like, I'm sure, have you ever had this scenario where someone's like, oh my gosh, like, I have a friend who you would just, like, love. Like, they are so much like you. And it's like, sometimes I feel like, with certain personality types, it's like, those two people will meet, and they're, sure enough, they're just best buds. And other times, those two people will meet, and they'll be like, we're basically mortal enemies now. You kind of, like, that's, the way you are is my spot. You
yes, know, yeah. Yes. I've experienced that before where I think a lot of times people are like, man, you're going to love this dude. You guys are exactly alike. And I'm like, I don't know
about that.
There's only enough room for one of us exactly, on this playground.
Exactly. So I can see that going the other way too.
Yes. No, it can definitely go that way. That's a good point. So maybe maybe that's the other thing as well. Is definitely like the discovery where it's like, oh no, you're just me.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm not that unique.
Gasp.
No, I'm replaceable. Can't be having that. Okay, you said you thought I would fall into an interesting category earlier.
I did, yes.
And I'm not sure if we've gotten to where that is.
Okay, sorry. So when it comes to, this is where, when it comes to being unfiltered, I think that you're really good about only paying compliments that you're genuine about.
Oh, okay.
Because I think that there are plenty of people who have learned the, myself included, probably in some capacity, have learned like, certain kinds of positive feedback that I wouldn't say like isn't like authentic, but maybe is like more in the name of providing positive feedback.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like, you know, I understand that when I'm talking to someone, if I compliment their shirt, it will create a positive feedback with them, even if I don't like their shirt.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Yeah. I mean, we're in dangerous territory because I do love complimenting people's shoes, and I do it when I love their shoes.
Yeah.
And I don't want anybody to think who I've ever complimented shoes to think that I was just saying it, because it's like a real thing that I say.
Yeah.
And I want people to know that.
Yes. Okay.
but yes, in some capacity, I think that there's like the basic social, somebody could say like, oh, I do this for a living. You're like, oh, that's super interesting. Tell me more. And it's like, it could be the case that like, you don't necessarily find it interesting, but it's like an opportunity to allow them to speak more about themselves or something.
Right. Just like asking people like, yeah, what do you do for work? And then it's just like, I don't really care, but it's just now we have something to talk about.
Exactly. Yeah. Like a jumping off point. And it's like, you're kind of like panning for waiting for that more mutual interest to find itself somewhere along the way, maybe. But no, I just think that I think you were good about like paying, like, which I think I always like, you know, have, like I've appreciated, cause like when you pay me a compliment, it's like, nice.
Yeah. Nice. I have a good seal of approval.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly it. Yes. You should get a stamp or something.
Yeah. I'll just notarize that.
J stamp.
You're welcome.
Boom. You'd be like one of those like clicky stamps too.
Oh yeah.
That would be so great. Yeah. You could bring it while we're like on tour and stuff, and then like if people come through and be like, wow, I love your shirt. Like J stamp of approval.
Yeah. There we go.
I mean, you're doing a really good stamp noise.
Oh, thank you.
I'm trying to imitate it, and I'm not doing it as well.
I'm like, I don't know what I'm trying. I don't even know what I'm channeling here. Yeah. No, I can't do it. Now I'm thinking about it too much.
That's okay. Yep. Anyway. Okay. So that was where I thought you might land on it in this particular situation. I think that you can be a straight shooter with some things. I would not say that I think that you are unfiltered though.
Okay.
Yeah. You're right. Filtered.
I'm filtered.
The real question behind that is whether or not the filter is more like, are we learning the filter from like society? And if society has dictated the filter, then on any level is part of like what's happening. Like we're all not being like completely honest.
Right. You're being like a little homogenized or something.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
I do know what you mean. Cause like, I feel like at times in my life, or I feel like I'm probably a lot more filtered like now than maybe I used to be.
Okay.
And like, sometimes I wonder, it's like, have I like shaved off too much of that in the name of like, just not ever trying to bother anyone? Or is it like, you know, oh, we're on the internet and you don't want to like, you know, accidentally offend somebody here or there by phrasing something the wrong way, or like accidentally, you know, just, you know, putting your elbow in the butter without having realized it. And then it's like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And it's like, well, how could you not even know didn't know that? Like, how could you be so uninformed to begin with? And it's like, that's already a problem. And you're like, God, you know,
what do I do?
I know. I'm sorry. I just, never mind.
I know. Yes. Yeah. And I think that, you know, we ran into some of that, I feel like, in the early days of the pop, where occasionally, like, you know, most of the time I felt like when I was putting my elbow in the butter, you're exactly right, where it's like, I literally had no idea.
Right.
You know, and it was sort of like, oh, okay. Like, well, you know, I learned something.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And so like you just try to take it and like grow as a person and be like, okay, there you go. New thing I didn't know about. But occasionally, yeah, you do present like an idea or a thought or a comment or a phrasing or something in such a way that it ends up striking somebody who was impacted by it in a way that is more emotional on their side of the equation. And then, you know, you kind of almost have this, it goes back to the person at the bar. You know, like,
right.
Like the, you know, your partner laughed at a joke while waiting for their drink at the bar or whatever. And it's like, you know, to them, it was just like, they just laughed.
Right.
You know, but if they said something funny.
Yeah.
You know, we watch comedy specials all the time. I laugh right. at those.
So like,
you know, what's the difference? You know, it's, but then, you know, you might be sitting back there like, well, wait a second. What was that all about?
What was that all about?
Can't laugh at such a handsome human being.
I know, right? Not allowed to have interactions with anyone that's not me. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
that's a whole different problem.
That's a whole different problem.
A whole different problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I don't know how we got here.
I don't either.
You got one last transition left in you?
Sure.
Transition.
Ben?
Yeah.
It has been an extremely long time coming, but if you can believe it, and I know you can't because you were watching it over the weekend as well, but the Washington Commanders are doing really well this season.
It is really, really,
really unbelievable.
It's like, so I feel like because like the Washington football team and the name conversion and everything that we've talked about, it's like, I feel like we're allowed to talk a little bit about some.
I mean, yes, we have talked about our Commander fandom on the pop before.
Yeah. We could talk about the football.
We can talk about the football because it's not necessarily, like, I don't want to just sit here and be like sports, but like, it's more about like I can't even describe it. It is like the feeling of watching them succeed for once.
Yes.
Because like, it has been so frustrating being a fan of the Washington football team for my entire life.
Yes.
You know, like they have just historically, they have got a bunch of Super Bowls.
Right.
You know, like there were times when they were great, but those times were before we were born.
Was it not the case their last appearance was the year you were born?
I think so. I think it was 88, 89, right there, somewhere in there. And since then, for years, it was becoming like a running joke. Like, they've had the most number of head coaching and quarterback changes of any team in the past, like, 10 years. Because, like, nothing is sticking. They keep trying the same thing over and over, and, like, nothing's working. There was, like, a brief moment of greatness in, like, 2010, or was it 2012? I don't even know.
I think it was like 2012, 13.
2012, yeah. When RG3 was there. Yeah, I think it was 2012, because we were living together.
Yes.
So it was when RG3 was there, Robert Griffin III, and it was like so exciting. But they were like, as of right now, we're 5 weeks into the season. The Commanders are 4-1, a record they have not had since 2007.
Whew. I know. At which point in time we were all like, they're doing so good.
They're doing so good. But clearly they didn't that year either.
Here's the fun fact for you, Jay.
Okay.
So
the
last time Washington won the Super Bowl was on January 31st, 1988, just a mere 5 days before
you
were born.
Gosh.
On February 4th.
Moments before. Yes. Like days, less than a week before I would have been bored. And who did they play?
Hang on. Let's pull it up. Sorry, I had it right there. The Denver Broncos.
Broncos. Well, there you go. There we go.
Yeah. So
go
you're
Washington.
You're how old now?
I am 36.
So it's been 36 years.
Yes.
Of like waiting for this potential opportunity. And here's the really like bizarre thing about it. So because I think this could potentially apply to anybody who's just been a fan of any team in any sport for any reason, but they have sucked for so long, and even when they're good, it's almost like they make you work for it in a way that is so painful.
Yeah.
Because it's always like, can they win on a last minute field goal? Can they somehow overcome the odds and force a turnover with 3 minutes left in the game to do a 2 minute drill and then kick an onside kick and then like whatever. It's like,
yes.
You know, everything about it has always been like pulling teeth.
It has. Like, they even the wins they get, it is never like, oh my gosh, Washington won by 28-3, 28-7. It's never like double digits. It's usually coming from behind.
Yes.
And barely making it happen.
Yeah. So yesterday I was watching the game on Sunday, and I was like, okay, this will be something, hopefully this is a good way to relax for a little while. And like what I was watching unfold was basically a slaughtering.
It
was just like, I've never seen these jerseys, these helmets, these players, this team just like steamroll.
Yes.
Before.
Yes.
And you're like, they look good. What is going on? The offense. That was a good pass. That was a good sack. That was a good, like what is happening?
I know.
And I think literally, so like the self-protective piece of me is like, you wanted to see this forever and ever and ever. And now it's happening. And there's a piece inside of me that will not let me celebrate because I'm like, something is wrong.
Yes. The exact feeling. Like what has ultimately happened, it seems, is that like in the last year, Washington has come under new ownership, new GM, new head coach, and they just drafted, Jaden Daniels, Heisman winner,
yeah,
out of LSU. So brand new star quarterback, and he is so good. And then they just gutted. They've got like so many new players, and everyone was like, okay, it's kind of a rebuilding year for Washington. And like, I remember hearing about the players they were trading, and I was like, those are like your best people. What are you doing? And it's like, I will admit now, I was in the wrong. They know what they were doing. They're like, no. What keeps happening is we keep keeping the like one or two good people at the cost of everyone else, and like, oh well, maybe we can rely on them because they're good. It's like, no, just actually start over, like stop hedging and actually do it.
Yeah.
And my goodness,
I mean major knock on wood energy, but
absolutely,
yeah.
I mean literally they came out of like halftime yesterday and it was like, they pretty much have it wrapped up. Is Jaden Daniels the real deal? Are the Commanders good? I think you can safely say it. Literally 5 seconds after they said that, interception. I was like, oh my gosh.
I know.
Why would you say those things out loud?
That there is a piece of me that feels like, so they're what, 4-1 now?
Yeah, 4-1.
Okay, there's a piece of me that thinks that 5 weeks from now, they're going to be 6-4.
I know, right? There's part of me that's like, that this is the life. It's like, don't get comfortable here. Don't like,
or start, 4-6 rather. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't sit here and think like, oh man, we're doing good, so we'll continue to do good. It's like, you're only doing good because we haven't actually done bad yet. And we will, because that's how it goes.
Because that's how
like,
it goes.
I know that's how it goes. But like literally yesterday, I mean, there was like 3 minutes left in the game. The score was like 6-34 or something. And I was like, I cannot believe we're going to lose this game right now.
I can't,
it is unfathomable to me that we are going to just have successfully stomped this team into the ground without some, like, even if we win, it's going to somehow be like 28-34 all of a sudden.
Yes. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. No part of me was celebrating, even though they had it in the bag since like halftime.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. It was so ridiculously like one-sided the whole time, which was just really... Yeah, it was just really, really odd. So what was I going to say? Hang on. Oh, crap. I lost my train of thought. Hang on. We'll find it again. Yes. Yeah, yeah. It was the thing that I just kept wondering. Yeah, because I was on the exact same page. I was like, this is going to somehow end up being one of the most historic games ever for this other team.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be like, with 4 minutes left in the game, they overcame a 28-point deficit.
Right, yeah.
They scored back-to-back touchdowns, overtime win. It's going to be like, great, great. Yeah, one of the most historic games ever, and you're going to be on the wrong side of it.
Most wrong side of it. That's, if you look up, like, it's so frustrating. If you look up, like, big, like, standout stats sometimes for sports, like, it's like, it always feels like Washington is on like the butt end of the joke, where it's like, what is the game with like, who has been defeated by the greatest margin in like the history of the NFL? And it's like, it's Washington. They have lost, they have been the biggest loser of all time at one point by like, like 7 to 72 or something.
Sure.
Some just outrageous game where they just got absolutely destroyed. And you're like, yeah, why not have that stat in our history? Why not?
Good, you know, good. But then it also makes me feel like they've also lost the most number of games by the fewest number of points would be the other one.
Oh,
that, like that I absolutely feel certain they possess.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this team is so good at losing by 3 points.
Yeah. Like it just tripping at the line there. But so it has been super fun watching because every single year, even when RG3 was there, Ben, the would-be savior, I think I watch it every year, and maybe no one's paying attention to the stat, but 9 games in, Washington's record is almost always 3-6.
Okay.
Almost always. And so like yesterday I'm sitting there, I'm like, we're 3-1 right now. So it's almost impossible that we're not going to lose the next 5 games.
Yes.
Because we've got the 3 wins. And this is just how, like, every season it gets to 3-6 every time. And I was like, I'm like waiting for it. I'm like, if we're going to be 4-1, that's impossible. We'll have beaten the curve.
It just doesn't happen.
It just never happens. So I don't know. It's been fun. It's been super. And the other really fun thing was that I could tell me and you and Tyler were all watching the game and like, clearly, we're all just sort of watching with the same, just sort of like what's happening, like starstruck eyes. And like every single play, it was just like all of a sudden, like my phone would explode with text from you guys.
Yes.
And
yeah, I was
just
like,
oh my God, are you watching this?
Did you see that? And it was really fun.
Yeah, it was really fun.
But that's the thing, though, is that I'm like, it's like it feels like. Like there's a steel box inside of my heart that has like the true excitement that can come out about this.
Yeah.
And it's almost like my body is sort of like, no. We shan't open the box.
I know. Like, I'm so afraid to be genuinely excited.
I don't want to be hurt.
I know. I don't want to be hurt again. Yes.
I was just watching this new show, Nobody Wants This, on Netflix. And at some point in time, there is a comment that they make, which is that like, I am afraid to become emotionally dependent on you because if the day ever comes where you leave, then I will be crushed.
Yeah.
And it's like that I feel like is exactly how that I feel is, I about know, the Commanders.
About
it's
the
like,
Commanders.
I can't let myself be emotionally dependent on you.
I know. Like, there used to be days, like, earlier in my life where, like, them losing could, like, just ruin my day. And I have very thick calluses for that. And I'm like, whatever. I don't even expect them to win.
Right. You know? Yeah. I don't expect them to win. So when they do, it's just
sort of like, hey, that's a nice thing that's happening. Like,
right.
But, and, like, the other frustrating thing is that, like, through the course of, like, my life, like, every other team that has been terrible has eventually been good.
Yo, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I've watched the Seahawks go from just complete obscurity to just, like, absolute powerhouses. I watched the Detroit Lions have a defeated 0-16 season and almost go to the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
You know, like, that rise and fall has happened for the other teams. And I'm like, when? It must happen at some point. They've got, like, just, like, it just doesn't even have to be like Super Bowl, just like general goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I'd be completely fine with winning 9 games.
Right. Great. I mean, so it's just, if you're out there, if you're also a Washington fan, if you've been, I think the thing is like part of me has been so many times in my life, like, why don't I just root for another team? Why don't I just like, why do I do this to myself? What do I do? And I'm like, but I can't give up because then what if they are good and I'm like, I don't even like them anymore. Then yeah. I feel so dumb. I'm like, I've been like, it's like,
you're going to let go at the wrong moment.
You're going to let go at the wrong moment.
Yeah. It's like, that's fine. I'm done with it.
Like, then that would be the moment and it'd be like, oh no.
I'm back. I never left.
Yeah. It was like, but in your heart, you know, you'd left.
You know, you'd left. Yep.
You know, it was a cheap thing. So I'm just like, part of me is like so excited to like actually watch them every week and have a chance at doing something. And part of me, you're right, it's like a steel box on my heart. Like, please just keep it riding, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Don't let me down. Don't let me down.
Well, maybe we'll crack it if they clinch.
If they clinch.
If they, yeah.
I can't even like, When are they ever in the lead of the NFC East?
Well, you gotta stop talking.
I know.
We're gonna ruin something
I'm just,
for someone.
Why are we even talking right now?
We shouldn't have brought it up.
We shouldn't have brought it up. That's what I kept thinking. And they like they could have waited like the halftime commentators, and they're all just sitting there just like speechless. They're like, we don't even know what to say. We don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
We can't believe what we're seeing either.
Right. Normally there's so much to critique about the Washington football team.
Right.
And everything they're doing wrong and all the drama attached to this stupid team.
I know. Now it's just so I don't know. It's just fun to have. It's just been fun. It's been fun so far.
It's been fun.
It's been good.
So fingers crossed. Anyway, guys, that does bring us to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. As per always, if you have any feedback about the show, you can shoot it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Through the Gryffindor is brought to you by Wizarding Candles. Ever wish you could bring the magic of the Wizarding World right into your home? Well, now you can with our very own collection of Wizarding Candles. We work hard to make sure that these aren't just candles. We aim to offer a brand new enchanting experience each month. All of our handcrafted candles are inspired by iconic places, spells, creatures, and relics from the magical world. Whether it's the cozy scent of the burrow or the mystical aroma of the enchanted forest, our candles transport you to the heart of the magic. The fun doesn't stop there. Hidden at the bottom of every candle is a surprise charm waiting just for you. Each charm is a unique keepsake and carefully selected to match the theme of each candle. We have new scents every single month, and you can save 10% on a subscription when you sign up at wizardandcandles.com.